Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. Good to have you at West End Church of Christ. As David announced earlier, Curtis Pope, our regular evangelist, is out of town on a meeting. And so I am thankful for the opportunity that I have to be before you and try and bring us a lesson to think about as it relates to our relationship with God. So you'd say, well, why would you start with this picture if that's what we're going to talk about? It's because, you know, a lot of times we really, really focus on things in the world with regard to excellence. We're all about it. I mean, Olympians, and you think about how Olympians train and the work that they do and trying to prepare themselves for the opportunity to participate in the Olympics. There's a lot of time invested, a lot of money invested, a lot of energy and effort to just get that opportunity to represent the United States of America. And how pleased they are when they get that opportunity. And so many people are. Their families, everybody's so happy about that. But pursuit of excellence has capacity to create some awesome outcomes. It changes people's lives. That's in the sports world. Well, what about the business world? Excellence is reflected in certain words in the business world as well. I wish we had some of these words associated with the current presidential election. But there's not much of that going on right now. It's not about integrity, and it's not about dependability and responsibility. But in the business world, that's the kind of thing that everybody looks at. And everybody wants to be successful. They want to have goals. I'm going to have this goal. I'm going to accomplish this. Companies have goals for their people. Why? Because they want to have excellence. They want to outdo the competition. They want to be successful in their lives. And we want to have success in our relationships as well. Excellence in relationships comes from commitment. The Bible talks about that. And all of us want to be able to enjoy that if we're in any kind of relationship. A husband and a wife, families, we want to have that kind of excellence. But what I want to talk to us about this morning is the pursuit of excellence in worship. The very reason that we are here today. First, I want to do what David would do here. He would first say, get out your Strong's Concordance, and I'm not going to give you the number, but I've done that, David. Thank you very much. And here's what the word worship means, to properly or personally esteem, to hold something or someone in high respect, to show reverence or awe, great respect of someone, to bow down in reverence. You know, you think about when we pray, and we bow our heads. We are showing humility toward God that we are praying to through Jesus Christ. So ultimately showing the greatest amount of respect that we have as we participate in coming together to show esteem and reverence to God at our worship service. Every time we walk through those doors together, collectively, to worship God, how are we doing? How are we doing? So I'm going to ask you a few questions. If the commitment you have to our worship service was reflected by everyone here, would God be pleased? I'm asking myself the same questions, okay? How would we rank ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the very best on our commitment to focus on the worship service? How do we do with regard to focusing on the worship service? How do we achieve excellence in our worship service? In Mark 7:7, it says, the Lord says, in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. And it is sad when people allow their worship to become vain. More questions. Are we passively participating or actively involved in the worship service? When you come to this building and we together are worshiping God, are we actively engaged in that process? Or are we distracted? Are we thinking about, well, I wonder what time we're going to get out today and how busy is it going to be at the restaurant? We're going to be able to get a table. Bad answer. Bad answer. Are we preoccupied with what we're going to do this afternoon? Oh, it's a beautiful day. What am I going to do today? I got this to do and that to do and this to do. again. Bad answer. Are we engaged in every aspect of the worship service with our mind and with our spirit? Is God getting my very best? I can't answer that question for anybody but for me. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I do better than I do other times. And everybody that preaches, I think, always preaches to themselves. So I'm preaching to me and saying, I always need to make sure that I'm doing the very best I can to have as a goal to glorify God. That's what I want to do in worship. In Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, in verses 12 and 13, it says, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. It's what God requires of us in our lives every day. It's not, well, if you want to, here's what I'd kind of like for you to do. No. It's what he expects of us. And it should be that way in our lives every day with regard to obedience and worship. And we've got to worship it in spirit and truth. And that's what he expects if we're going to get to heaven. So, just quickly, and I don't want to slight any of these things, but I'm going to talk about some of our elements of the worship service and what is most important. And for the purposes of what we're doing with the song leader training, I'm going to focus more on songs this morning. And we may come back and do some of this other stuff a little bit later when I have the opportunity. But, so let's look at reading, for example. When Tim read the scripture this morning, what were we doing when Tim read that scripture? Were we listening to what he said? Were we actively engaged in listening to those words? Or do we think about the scripture being read as maybe a time filler? That's just something we've always done. That's a tradition that's part of the worship service. Well, it's always been something that has been done throughout all of biblical times. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, talks about the fact that we read it so that we understand God's word. Tim read that this morning, and it's part of the service for us to be encouraged by God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 5:27, it says that the word was to be read to the brethren. And so when the man that is up here takes the Bible and opens it up and reads a scripture, we should be hanging on every word that he says, because it's God's word. Proverbs 4, 1 through 12 says, wisdom comes from hearing, and Proverbs is filled with scriptures about wisdom. But we can only learn of that wisdom from hearing. What about prayers? Travis this morning, when he prayed the prayer and he led us, you know, we say, so-and-so is leading us in prayer. So, here's the question. When Travis began to offer his prayer to God on my behalf this morning, was I listening to what Travis said? Because I'm supposed to be actively engaged in that prayer as much as Travis, because I ought to be listening to everything he's saying, so that at the end I can say, amen. I agree with what you have said on my behalf in our worship to God. Talking to God's important. Christ did it a lot. Matthew, the 14th chapter, in verse 23. Mark, the 14th chapter, in verse 36. Luke 6 and 12. John 17. Before he was crucified, he prayed to God on a regular basis. There was a lot of prayer that went on then, but in other times in his ministry as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Does that mean we pray all the time? No. I think it means for us to have a prayerful attitude. I think it means that prayer should be an important part of our lives every day. 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul instructing all the men to pray. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, let your requests be made known to God. So God hears us through prayer, if we believe he does, and we're to make those requests made known to him. Romans 12:12 and Colossians 4:2, the churches were instructed to pray as well. So prayer is a very important part of the worship service. What about the giving this morning? When the men came to the table this morning and Dale made comments about giving. Jansen led a prayer about it. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19 talks about giving being a good thing, talks about our work in service and how we're to give and how important it is in the worship service. And the Lord's Supper. It should be another very focused element of our worship service. It's very humbling. It should be very Christ-centered with regard to the sacrifice that He made. We just had a class in the auditorium this last quarter that Travis led again on the last 5 days of Christ's life prior to the crucifixion. And what a great class it was in helping us all to refocus on the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Now, when the Lord's Supper is being done, and the men that are selected to be here and serve the congregation, and there's several scriptures we can look at. One that I've used a lot is 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. It talks about how the emblems represent the body and blood of Christ. But then it also talks about if we take of it in an unworthy manner, we've condemned ourselves. So are we focused on the Lord's Supper when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper? When I think about what Christ did for me and I think of my attitude at times, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of myself for not giving it the reverence that I should have. But all we can do is continue to try harder and do better in that part of our worship service. What about preaching? The gospel is to be proclaimed in Mark 16, 15. Matthew 28, 19, 20 says, go into the world, make Christians of everyone, disciples of all nations. Acts 10, 42, preach to the people, testify that Christ is the appointed one. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse 1, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand. So there's lots of verses with regard to preaching, and we do that. And we are fortunate to have a great man as part of our congregation that leads us in that effort as our evangelist. Curtis does a wonderful job. And we're glad to have Justin part of our training program. He moves around so much I can't keep up with where he is. All right. Oh, you're over here. Okay, see, I wasn't looking for you there. But we're glad to have Justin to be a part of this training program. And appreciate the work that those men do. But there's many verses about that component of our worship service as well. But as I said, what I want to focus on for this morning is singing. It's an important element of the worship service. It's as important as anything else. The song worship service is one of the most visible and verbal aspects of participating in the worship service available to us to hear today, I think. It outwardly gives us a way to collectively worship God in a way that He knows what's going on. But you know what I'm saying, the edification that we receive by the songs that we sing and how we sing together. In my thoughts, it's one of the most outward manifestations of our opportunity to edify one another and still please God. That's why I typed it, because it was easier to do that than try and say it. And here's something that people have said to me, okay? Singing can make the worship service better, more edifying, or it can be a discouragement. Now that would be a terrible thing to think, that when we came into this worship service, that anyone would be discouraged by singing. Now, what are we going to do about that? As individuals, what are we going to do? Here's a few questions. Who has the most important role in the song service, the congregation or the song leader? You don't have to answer that out loud. And I don't think it's this one or that one. I think it's both. I think the song leader has a great responsibility. And I think the congregation has a great responsibility. Why is it important that everyone in the worship service participates in the singing? Because the Bible tells us to. Well, I've heard people say, well, I'm not a very good singer. Well, God's not listening to how you sound. He's caring about what's in your heart with regard to how you sing and doing the very best you can. And let me ask you this question. I want you to chew on this one for just a minute. If you knew today was going to be the last day that you were going to be here with the saints singing songs to praise God, how would that be reflected in how you sing? If you knew you only had one more time, how would it be? Would it be any different than it is right now? Do we kind of go through the motions, or do we do the best we can? If we desire heaven and eternally singing praises to God, then why wouldn't we want to do the very best we can to sing songs of praise to God while we're here on this earth? More questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, how would you rate yourself on your attitude and your focus on singing praises to God? Now, attitude is everything about everything. It really is. But if you don't have the right kind of attitude, how is your song service as an individual and part of this group going to be to God? Same scale, how would we rate West End and our song worship service? Are we all doing the very best that we can in this important component of our worship service and praising God? And then the last question, when God hears us singing, is He pleased? Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, do we all do exceedingly abundantly for the very best that we can in our song service? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do we give, you know, it's talking about giving our best. So do we give 100%? And let me just be the first to step up. Sometimes I'm probably not where I need to be on that 100%. And there's times I get distracted, or I think about something I shouldn't be thinking about. I need to think about the words of that song. Do we pay attention to those words? You know, like for example, let's go back. Grab your book right now, if you don't mind. Just grab one of those books in the front of the pew. Because we got the aid, we don't use them a lot anymore. But go to one of the songs that Keith led a while ago, number 38. Go to number 38. Let's just read the words for just a minute. Okay, verse 1. From the earth, from the sky, breaks forth the joyful cry. Our Lord is King Most High. Crucified, He revived. That's why He's King Most High. Mark was talking about King Jesus in class this morning. Verse 2. Humble birth held no worth till angel voices sang forth. A king is born this day. Then the earth was aware its hope had come to stay. Verse 3, words He gave me to say, by works He led the way, this Lord and King to be. Then alone, blood atoned, His life He gave for me. Verse 4, darkest power He o'ercame, life for me He regained. A prophet ne'er to die, priest forever on this throne, Lord God, my King Most High. My Lord is great and good, the chorus, and He will hear my cry. He'll ever live and ever reign, my Lord and King Most High. Again, is it easy to fall into just singing the song and not thinking about the words? If we're not careful, I'm afraid we can. Now go to number 563. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, Lord God Almighty, wonderful Counselor, Light of the World, the Prince of Peace, Hope of Glory, Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God. What a beautiful song. What beautiful words. Do we think about those words when we sing that song? The song right across the page from it is a favorite for me, Number 562, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And at a point in my life where I didn't expect this. At a point in my life where I didn't feel like I deserved to be loved, He loved me. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love, but I never know just why He came to save me till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. That's a powerful song for me, knowing how much Jesus loves me. And as I think about that, when I go to 568, a soul winner for Jesus. If He did all that for me, what should I be willing to do for Him? I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ that they, His grace, may know. I want to live for Christ ever and do His blessed will because He loves me so. I want to be a soul winner till Jesus calls for me to lay my burdens down. I want to hear Him say, "Servant, you've gathered many sheaves. Receive a shining crown." A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, oh, let me be each day. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, He's done so much for me. When we sing these songs, when we think about these words, are they just words, or do they really mean something to us in furthering our relationship with God? I'll tell you what He expects, nothing but total commitment. Song leaders, no matter how good you are or how good we think we are, we're going to get better. It doesn't make any difference. In the world, we don't ever just quit. We've reached a plateau and I know everything there is to know and I'm going to stop. Do you do that as a Christian? You say, "Well, I know all the Bible has to offer, so I'm just going to quit and I've peaked." No, that's not the way it works. I can remember a guy here not too long ago that he sung a song. He had a number and he sang the words to a totally, who's laughing out there? He sang the words that was on the page to a totally different tune. It was me. It was me. And y'all just sang right along. You sang the tune that I was singing and the words that I was singing. Thank you so much. I love every one of you. We all make mistakes. We can all get better. We can all do better. We've all got to work toward that for God, for giving Him excellence. And whatever aspect of worship service we are engaged in, we've got to make sure that we are doing our very best. Did God accept blemish animals? Oh, just give me what's left over. I'll take anything. No, He didn't. He wanted the best. Romans 12:1, one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible, and really the entire chapter of Romans 12. is that we are to be that living sacrifice for God in excellence, in perfection to the very best of our ability. We're not going to be perfect, but we've also always got to be striving to be better. Romans 12:11 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Galatians 6:6-10, always doing good, not growing weary in our service to God and edification of the brethren. So, in closing, what I would say to you this morning is this. This service that we are part of this morning is bigger than any one of us that sits here today, because it is our opportunity to show our love, respect, and reverence for our Creator God. It's our opportunity to say, Jesus, we so love you because of what you did for us that we can never repay. It's our opportunity to encourage other members that are here that are participating in this worship service by our humility, by our dedication to listening to reading and participating in the Lord's Supper and singing as the songs are sung to praise God. So I hope this morning as we conclude the service, you'll think about these things and you'll know that I am so encouraged by all of you. And when we came to Bowling Green back a few years ago, it'd be 2 years, October the 28th, and we visited around, what we were encouraged by was what we saw in the members here and also by the leadership and the elders that were here. And that's why we wanted to be a part of this work. But I think we can always be better. I think we can always do better to strive toward excellence in serving God. So this morning, if you're a member of the body of Christ and you don't feel like you've done that, and in fact you feel like maybe there's something that has happened in your life that may have compromised your relationship with God to the point that you need the prayers of this congregation, all you got to do is just humble yourself to be able to come forward and say, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. Or if you're not a member of the body of Christ and you recognize what Christ has done so that you've got a hope of salvation for eternity, the invitation's extended for you as well. So if there's anything that we can do to help anybody in any way, if you would come forward while Keith sings our invitation song that's been selected.